And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this last week of 2024, last Saturday of 2024, and the first week of 2025. All right, we're going to be in Judges chapter number 10 today, and we're going to start reading with verse number 1. We've got quite a bit of scripture to read. We're going to read some here. We're going to talk about the backstory and then talk about this particular judge. Now, this particular judge we're going to be talking about, Jephthah. Jephthah gives us a history lesson, and he gives us a key number in the chronology of the Old Testament. It's a key number. It's a key to find the gulf between Samuel and Joshua. There's a break between, well, the judges, Joshua chasm, it's often called. There's a break there where there's not a real clear chronology until you look at what Jephthah has to say here and take it in conjunction with what is said about Solomon's temple and that it opened a certain number of years after a certain event. I'm going to let you look that up as to exactly what that event is. But let's go ahead and let's begin reading here in Judges chapter number 10. Beginning reading with verse number 1. And after Abimelech there arose to defend Israel Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. And he dwelt in Shamir in Mount Ephraim. And he judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. And after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Camon. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim, and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hands of the children of Ammon. And that year they vexed and oppressed the children of Israel 18 years, all the children of Israel that were on the other side Jordan, in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. Moreover, the children of Ammon passed over Jordan to fight also against Judah, and against Benjamin, and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was sore distressed. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, We have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God, and also served Baalim. And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistines? The Zidonians also, and the Amalekites and the Maonites, did oppress you. And ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Let me stop there for just a second. This word tribulation. Tribulation is trouble that you suffer because of who you are. It's because of who you are or what you are. It is the Jews suffering because they are Jews. Simply because they're Jews. No other reason. Just simply, they're Jews, and therefore they suffer because of that for some people. Anti-Semitism is a big thing. And so this word tribulation is suffering because of who you are. It's nothing you did. It's who you are. All right, continuing on, verse 15. And the children of the Lord said unto the Lord, let me start that over. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, We have sinned, do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them, and served the Lord. and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, "What man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." All right, so let's look at the scene here before we go into the next chapter. The scene is set. Israel, they had just gone through the whole deal with Gideon, Jerubbaal, and then his son Abimelech, who proclaimed himself king, but ended up dying. They've gone through this. They've gone through the things that were associated with that. It's been some time since Joshua, and there's several years here. And the people backslide. See, here's what happens. A new generation comes along, and they consider the generation previous to them old fogies. They don't know nothing. Da-da-da. That's the age-old refrain sung by every generation. My generation sang it. The generation prior to mine, that is the baby boomers, they sang it. The generation prior to that even did. The generation after mine, I'm part of Generation X, between the millennials and the boomers. The generation after mine's the millennials. The generation that's after that is the Generation Z, or the Zoomers. And each generation seems to have less and less respect for the generation before it, or before the one before them even. One of the common sayings of 2024 said by younger generations talking to older folk is, "Okay, boomer, whatever, you're just an old fogey." And of course, the boomers did the same thing in the 1960s with Woodstock and all the things that went along with that. And before that, you know, the 50s, they had their rebellions too, from the previous generation. And the previous generation had their times too, in the 40s and in the 30s and in the 20s, the flappers of the 1920s, which are the grandmothers of the boomers. Each generation has had its rebellion against the establishment, whoever the establishment is. That's the two generations prior, typically, maybe one generation prior. There's some overlap. I'm kind of an early Generation X. I almost am in the boomers. The boomers end at about 1965. I'm almost there. Not quite, but I'm almost there. Born in 65. I was born a little later than that, but late enough to be in the head end of the Generation X, or the latchkey kids, you know. Each generation's got its own thing. The millennials, the Zoomers, Generation Z, the boomers, Generation X. There's even those between them. Between the boomers and Generation X is, I think I read it, Generation Jones. I don't know where that came from. But there's some in-betweens there. It's overlap. There's a lot of overlap. The fact of the matter is each generation thinks the generation before it is old fogies. What happens then? Great revivals that occurred in those generations. The new generation coming along, they don't have any room for that God. They don't have any room for that doctrine. They don't have any room for living right that generation learned, the previous generation rather, learned through hard experience and through the pangs of great revival. See, great revival requires great repentance. Great repentance means there's been great sin. For there to be great repentance means there's great sin. Each generation has to come to its own terms with its own sins and its own problems. And there's a day of reckoning for each and every generation. And it doesn't matter which generation you're part of. your generation has had or will have or is having its day of reckoning. For Generation X, that's now, because Generation X is now finding itself coming up on retirement without the funds to retire. In many cases, a great percentage of the Generation X, of the members of Generation X, are not able to retire. They simply do not have enough money. And they're going to be working a lot longer. I'm a little bit in that boat myself. I'm in that boat. I'm going to have to work probably well past normal retirement age. And, well, it is what it is. You do what you have to do. You spend on the bills that you have to spend on, and then if there's not enough left over to save for retirement, there's just not enough left over to save for retirement. That's part of working for nonprofits. I've worked for nonprofits for over 30 years, and there's great rewards seeing people's hearts and lives be touched, seeing people learn things and seeing the education. And I say nonprofits, partly ministries, but may partly not. But I love helping people. I love being able to help people. And it's been at some personal sacrifice. It has. It's been at a considerable personal sacrifice at times. But I believe I'll stand before God. In a time when money means nothing, I'll stand before God and I'll be able to say, Lord, I've run well this race that you set before me. I've run it to the best of my ability, and I've done what I could do to help folks and to enrich people's lives. I'm one of those Generation X members who is going to have a really difficult time when it comes time to retire. It's going to be tough. It really is. But the Lord will provide, I believe. I believe the Lord will provide what he feels like and thinks that I need at the time that I need it. But each generation thinks the previous generation is just a bunch of old fogies. Well, same thing's true in the land of Israel. That's what's going on here. Each judge, for a little while, that judge is keeping up the land and keeping up the protection, and the enemies of Israel are afraid to come around, and they don't come around because that judge is powerful and he's keeping things in line. And as that generation gets older, their children grow up and they think that their parents just simply don't know what's up. They don't know what they're talking about. What do you mean the Midianites were so powerful? There's nothing. Well, that's because Gideon took care of them. Well, they're just nothing. They weren't that bad. They couldn't have been that bad. And so the older generation passes. The power and repentance towards God wanes. And people start praying to a new God. People start praying to wrong gods. And the Lord here enumerates them, the gods of the Philistines and the gods of Moab and the gods of Ammon, the gods of Syria, the gods of the Zidonians and Baal. Now Baal was the lords of the Canaanites. Baal was just simply Lord. And it's Baalim in many places in Scripture. And that's because there were many. There was a lord of this valley and a lord of that valley, and there was gods everywhere. There was gods everywhere, around every tree. And that's where the origin of the custom of knocking on wood comes from, is Baalism, and each tree being a lord of that particular area of the earth. And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people. You'd be surprised how many people within the sound of my voice today by way of radio, if they were listening, you'd be surprised how many people out there will proclaim themselves as pagans. And that's what that is, pagans. That's what they worship, the Baals, Baalim, the lords of each and every area of the forest. They worship nature, in other words. They worship the creature rather than the creator. And that's what Israel was getting into. And they were worshiping these. And the Lord says, all right, that's fine. And so he allows the Philistines and the Ammonites to trouble and vex Israel. The Ammonites on the east, the Philistines on the west. The Philistines were going to give Judah what for and all kinds of trouble. And the Ammonites were going to give the ones who stayed on the other side of Jordan, the Gileadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, the tribe of Reuben, and the tribe of Gad, were going to be under siege by the Ammonites on the east. And we're going to find out what the Ammonites were after in a little bit later scripture. I don't know if we'll get there today or not. It may have to wait till next week to get into this 11th chapter. But I want to set the scene. The children of Ammon are now becoming a great enemy to Israel. And they're vexing them. And they're battling them. They don't fear them anymore. The fear of the old Israel that feared God. See, as long as they feared God, God put the fear of them into their enemies. That's why they weren't bothered. Their enemies were afraid of them. They didn't become great. God worked on the backside of things. And that's where historians really get confused. Historians often talk about how the only reason David and Solomon were able to accumulate a great kingdom is because there was no other great power in the world. They say, if there had been a great power in the world, then Solomon never would have been the king that the Bible talks about. And they're right. They're absolutely right. God kept there from being another great power, see? God is the one that worked on that. God made it to where there wasn't a great power in the world, to where David and Solomon's kingdoms could thrive. And then when they left God, God allowed other kingdoms to gain power. God was in that. They're trying to deny God. I'm telling you, that is a proof of God, is there wasn't a great power in the world during the time of David and Solomon. Egypt was on the downslide. Syria was on the rise. But they were just barely on the rise. And David fought them. And David had some battles with them and defeated them. But the great kingdoms of Assyria and Babylon were way off in the future. And God would have held them back had Israel maintained their strong worship of the Lord. But no, one generation passes into the next. The next generation thinks the old generation is just, they're nonsensical. They're full of nonsense. They don't know what they're talking about when they talk about worshiping God. We're seeing that in today's world. As the younger generation rebels against the morals of a thrice holy God, the younger generation says, God can't tell us what to do. Well, they can do what they want, but they're going to suffer the consequences because God will not be mocked. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is God, whether on this earth or whether on the other side of eternity, in eternity, is dependent upon whether you repent or not. In Israel here, they have backslid. They're going with all these other gods because they're fun. See, that's the whole thing. Worshiping these other gods is fun. These other gods encourage you to sin. These other gods, the worship of Chemosh and the worship of Molech and the worship of Baal, encourages perverse practices and carnality, concupiscence. All manners of perverted things are encouraged by those religions. Those religions say, we want you to have fun. The gods want you to have fun. They want you to engage in these things. And by the way, when you do, then you owe the tax to the priest that helped you do that. And so they would have harlots, temple harlots. They would have of both men and women. And In Babylon, in particular, it was considered the duty of every woman to spend time at the sacred temple as a harlot at least once, and had to actively have a perverse relationship with someone visiting the temple before they could leave. At least that's the legend. It's a carnal practice that they did, but that's what entices young folk. We don't want this straight-laced religion. We don't want this holy religion. We don't want this religion that preaches against sin. We want a religion that preaches prosperity and preaches having a good time and preaches you can do whatever you want and there's no hell and there's no consequences to your actions, and we won't call what you do sin. You're just misguided a little bit. And it's okay. It's okay. God will forgive you. You're fine. No, you're not fine. It takes repentance to get salvation. Repentance is a fruit of true salvation. It is. And again, I don't work and try to live holy and try to live right to get saved. I try to live right because I am saved. Because that's in my nature now to try to live right and to try to fight sin. I hate sin because of who I am. A born again child of God. And folk, that is a key thing about Christianity. Christianity preaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none of us deserve it. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to be able to go to heaven and inherit what Christ has put together for us. None of us deserve that. But the carnal religions, the pagan religions, teach a different gospel. Their gospel is you can do whatever you want, and it'll please the gods, and the gods will give you strength if you do these carnal deeds. And that was where Israel was backsliding into. It is an attractive religion. It is a religion that teaches and preaches that you can do these things and it'll be perfectly okay. It's a religion that is fun. And the young people are always about fun. My generation was the same. The generation of the boomers, that's what Woodstock was all about. That's what the swinging 60s were all about. That's what LSD and a bunch of other drugs were all about. Just having fun. We have a right to have fun, don't we? Well, there's more important things than having fun. Living holy is one of them. Doing God's will is one of them. We're going to look again next week, the Lord willing, and see who this man Jephthah was that God was going to call. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. The I Want to Know More podcast is a ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please write to Lamar Owen, Post Office Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. Again, that's Lamar Owen, P.O. Box 212, Balsam Grove, North Carolina, 28708. And the Lord willing, we'll see you here again next time for the I Want to Know More podcast.